Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. As we celebrate Pentecost today, the reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, and our talk is by Edward Hoskin, Methodist lay preacher.
So I've asked Johan to read this from the Children of God storybook this morning. It's a slightly different translation, but a good one for everyone.
So the reading is from Acts 2. The disciples were in Jerusalem, and they were all so very excited. They could feel that something wonderful was about to happen. Early one morning, whoosh! Is that it? Did you get it, the fright? A strong wind blew through the room where they were gathered. The house shook. Lights like tongues of fire rested on everyone's head, and they felt the power of the Holy Spirit within them. Their hearts filled with love, and they began to talk. But they were talking in different languages, Greek and Latin, Egyptians and Libyan, and even Arabic. At that time, Jerusalem was crowded with visitors from all over the world. When the people heard the noise of the wind, they all hurried to see what had happened. The visitors were amazed to find the disciples speaking so many different languages. Peter spoke to the crowd. "What was prophesied has come true," he said. "God has made Jesus both our Savior and friend. Through him, God's wonderful dream is coming true." "What can we do to realize this God's dream?" the people cried. Peter said, "Return to God and be baptized so your sins will be forgiven. You will be given a new life. And you too will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." 3,000 people were baptized that day. This is the word of the Lord.
So that story, that account from Acts chapter 2. I always hesitate in using the word story because it sounds like it's fictional. You know, we believe this has happened. It's history. It's something that happened in those days. But what's all the commotion about? You heard there that sort of feeling of excitement of the disciples. But those who are around, and it mentioned all those other people who are there. Oops, sorry, I've gone on too many. If you read the full text, it talks about in verse 6, a crowd came together in bewilderment. They had no idea what was going on. They were utterly amazed. And then in verse 12, it says, they were utterly amazed and perplexed, and they asked one another, "What does this mean?" I think that's the sort of main question we have perhaps today. What did that account, that event in those days mean to them? And what does it mean to us? So I want to go back, shall I say, to the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it talks about that in the beginning, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And we have to sort of imagine nothing, if it's possible to imagine nothing. Darkness, chaos, whatever. And then we go on to say that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And the word Spirit, in that very first few verses of Genesis, the word Spirit in the Hebrew is ruach, which means breath. And if you think that we've heard of the Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost, there's a wind. So it's wind or it's breath, it's movement of air. But it's more than that. It's that powerful, creative force. It's the very, if you like, the very essence of God's creative power that moved over the waters, whatever was there before what now exists. We believe it had that creative power, that massively creative power that moved from whatever these waters were to the beauty of the world, the beauty of creation, the greatness of the whole universe of what God has created, that breath, that spirit of God, that creative power of God, turned chaos into beauty, into the bounty of the world, and all that we have and all that we appreciate and all that we depend upon in terms of that creative power, that very essence of God. And it's the same word, if we now move on to one of the prophets, you might know of Ezekiel. Ezekiel had these visions. And he particularly had a vision. Oh, I didn't know those words came up. That's very strange. Okay. visions of a dry valley full of bones. And Ezekiel, in his vision, he says, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I will breathe. I will enter you and come into new life. And this is at a time when the Israelites had very much given up hope. They'd lost hope. They felt death. They felt dead. They felt lifeless. They wondered what was going to happen next. And if you like, their relationship with God was dead. They'd lost any sort of sense of how God was leading them. And so in this vision of Ezekiel, he's saying, look, you feel dead, but God will come and breathe into you, bring you new life. Again, it's that creative force. I'll put my spirit in you and you will live. And so it's that contrast between dead, dry bones and life. God's creative force, ruach, that breath, that essence of God. And it's a new creative power, if you like. It's building on that idea of the breath of God in the creation of the world and the universe, the breath of God coming into bodies, breath of God coming in to give new life. And the same word again, ruach, is used in Psalm 51, create in me, in the same creative power. And this is a plea. This is a psalmist's plea saying, look, well, I'm in a state of distress. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit. Renew a new life within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. So here there is an aspect of the psalmist realizing there's some spark of Holy Spirit in us already. We understand, again, going back to creation, that we are made in the image of God. We all have something of God in us. I think sometimes we lose sight of that, and the psalmist is here saying, don't take whatever spark is in me from me, but renew my spirit, new creation, a new spirit within me. Ruach, breathe into me afresh. And then we come to Joel. If we had read the full text of Acts chapter 2, we'd have heard Peter quoting from Joel. And Peter says that what God had promised has now been revealed. On the day of Pentecost has now come to fruition. And he quotes Joel. And Joel says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. So I don't know which of us are old men and which of us are. Your young men will see visions. Sorry for the women. You know most of the Old Testament is written with a male-dominated approach. But then it goes on to say, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth. And later on, although not quoted by Peter, later on in Joel's words, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But it all starts in Joel, and indeed in what Peter quotes, by saying, and afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. But after what? Joel was very much one of the later prophets who knew very much about all the previous prophets, all the history of Israel, all the difficulties. And I say that after what? After rebellion, after disobedience, after judgment, particularly though after repentance, that people had come to an understanding that their dead bones weren't sufficient. They needed life breathing into them. After all of that, after all of the history of mankind, if you like, of trying to find God and going off course, after that, God will come. And Peter, on that day of Pentecost, quotes Joel. He's saying, now is the time. Now is the time that this fulfillment of this prophecy has come to fruition, has come to take place. That this is the days, these are the very days when God will pour out his spirit on all people, servants, men, women, everyone. And the very act of the confusion in the account of Pentecost, all those crowds around were saying, hold on, what's going on? I don't understand. You know, I've come from Persia, I've come from Arabia, I've come from Rome, I've come from all these people that are saying they've come from different places. And that again is demonstrating that God is saying he's pouring out his spirit on all people. All these people could hear the apostles, the disciples, speaking in their own language and hearing the message. And of course, as David has already referred to, Jesus promised before he left this earth as a physical human, when he went to heaven, he said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. Advocate in the sense of sometimes we think of a lawyer or someone who will stand up and speak for us to support us. Come to help us. Be with us forever. The Spirit of truth. If you want to sort of understand a little bit more about the word of Spirit, in the Old Testament, I've already said it's ruach. It's spirit, it's breath, it's wind. It's the same in New Testament Latin. Sorry, Greek. New Testament Greek. Get the Greek right first. New Testament Greek is pneuma. And we know about the word pneumatic. We understand about pneumatic. You have pneumatic tires. If you've driven here or you've cycled here, I had to pump Dorothy's tires this morning. And you put air into the tires. And you think we're all traveling around on air, effectively, on pressurized air in the tires. And that has force. That has substance. Even though we can't see it. And you can't see wind. You can't see air, but it still has purpose in giving us life, purpose in pumping up our tires. And so that's that spirit which is invisible, has strength. The advocate that Jesus will send to us gives us spirit of truth, spirit of support and guidance. So going back to this, what is all the commotion about? It's a new realization that God's Spirit is available to all, regardless of where you've come from, or your background, your tradition, regardless of whether you have feel that you're weighed down by your sins, regardless of whether you're feeling like dead bones, this God's Spirit is available to all. And so I've just, hopefully from what I've said so far, you can see I've talked about the breath of creation, the creative power of God, from chaos to beauty. The breath of cleansing, as in Psalm 51, bring in a new spirit into me to clean me, to make me white as snow. I forgot to mention the snow on the picture there earlier, but you saw the picture of snow, how snow can cover up all sorts of irregularities and whatever in the landscape and make everything look pure, to be as white as snow. The breath of new life when hope is lost, as in Ezekiel. And the breath of support, of encouragement, when we're needing an advocate. And so it's all about, what does this mean? It's the birth of the worldwide Christian church. I'm not suggesting we do it now, or we could do if you feel like spontaneous, but we could sing happy birthday to the church. I've certainly been places where you sing happy birthday to the church. It's the day of the church being recognized as the birth of the church. The worldwide, and that's what I'm really stressing here, for everyone, regardless of where you come from. We're having a bit of a break today from the Sermon on the Mount, our series of the Sermon on the Mount. We're not talking about that sermon, but actually, we need God's Spirit. We need this renewal of God's Spirit within us to be able to live according to the Spirit, to the Sermon on the Mount. The Spirit on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount is difficult in many ways in terms of testing us, of trying us, to encourage us to live exactly as God wants us to. We can only do that with the strength of God's Spirit in us. Of course, we also know that's not always easy. There are times when we feel as dead as dry bones. There are times when we feel disconnected from God and need to plea to God, if you like, to bring a new and right and steadfast Spirit within us. It's difficult. As I said, Spirit is not visible. Breath is not visible. And yet we can see the effects. If you look at the person next to you, you can't see breath going in and out of them, but you can see that they're alive. Hopefully you can see they're alive. And you know that that breath is working, and so it is with the Holy Spirit. We don't necessarily see the Holy Spirit or don't always necessarily understand how God's Spirit mingles with our human spirit. But in that we are made in the image of God, we have something of God in us. We just don't always recognize it. And we need to call out to God to say, help me realize your Spirit is in me. Help me realize you can give me more strength, more hope, more life, more creative power to be the person you want us to be. And so let's end by perhaps saying these words together. It's a hymn or a verse, it's a poem originally, apparently. We say together, breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love the way you love and do what you would do. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you.